The conversion process, which Christians go through, can be broken down into four different major categories. First, there's the initial calling from God the Father and the understanding of His Word, where He opens up our minds to His truth, to the truth, which leads to faith towards Jesus Christ and repentance towards God. Second is justification, which is the effect of faith towards Jesus Christ and repentance before God. Justification is a state of being right, or clearly of guilt before God, and therefore accepted by Him. Much of what is written in Romans and Galatians covers this important subject, as it was one of the major issues of the first century church, a thing that they had to face. Because God revealed to them that being cleared of guilt, being justified before God, was not something that any person could actually do on their own. The only thing that could clear a person would be a perfect sacrifice. That was the work of Jesus Christ. And we were cleared of guilt. We are justified. We are accepted before God, not on the basis of our own works, but because of God. Justification, being legally declared free from guilt, does not instantly make one perfectly righteous in the conversion process. Paul makes it noticeably clear that growth in godly righteousness is a process. It is a process. The third process in our conversion is sanctification unto holiness. And the fourth is glorification by the means of the resurrection from the dead, the transforming of our mortal bodies into a spiritual body like Jesus Christ, which will happen when Jesus returns. Right now, of the four stages that I've mentioned, we are in the third stage. It is the one that is the most time-consuming and personally difficult at times. In one sense, it is the most dangerous stage because it's in this area that it's most likely that we may lose our way through impatience, discouragement, loss of vision, or some other thing that may distract us from God's way of life. Luckily for us, God's Word has a lot of emphasis on this third stage, sanctification, in terms of the messages, the exhortation, the admonishments, and the instructions that He gives to us. Today in this message, we will focus our attention on this third stage of sanctification. And we will continue in the next message today with going on to perfection. One of the Holy Spirit's function in the believer's life is to cultivate Christian character, to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is sanctification and is foundational to the teachings that are in Galatians chapter 5, which we're going to look at. You're not going to find the word sanctification in Paul's letter to the Galatians. However, the process of sanctification is what Paul is describing in chapter 5 as the outworking of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. There's five things that we need to know about sanctification. The first is sanctification is the work of God. Sanctification is the work of God. All our efforts toward holiness are useless apart from, number one, the work of Christ on the cross. As Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And second, the work of God's Holy Spirit within us. God's Holy Spirit's role is highlighted by Paul's repetition of the phrase, in the Spirit, throughout Galatians chapter 5. He uses the phrase sanctified by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, and in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, he says it is by the Spirit that we are able to put to death the deeds of the body. Sanctification is what God does for us who obey Him and are blameless through His justification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus asked God to sanctify us. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is God's will for us, to be sanctified. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purposes. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. The second thing I want you to know about sanctification is sanctification involves our willingness to cooperate. Sanctification involves our willingness to cooperate. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Whereas justification is entirely God's work, sanctification involves our cooperation with God. Christ has delivered us from sin's reign, but the responsibility for resisting sin is ours. God has given us His Spirit, but the responsibility for walking by the Spirit, again, is ours. Paul tells us that we must pursue sanctification. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want to read that scripture again from the New American Standard Bible from 1995 version. It says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Some translations say separation or the separation instead of holiness or sanctification. The words holy and sanctified are often interpreted to mean righteous or pure, or something that's similar to that. But the basic concept of the Hebrew word kadosh, is that of an apartness or distinction. Each of the nouns, adjectives, and verbs from this root expresses these ideas with a view to a specific purpose or even a limitation. It is the same with the Greek word for holy and sanctified, which is hegiazo, hegiazo, which means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate, to sanctify. Hagiosmos means it's another Greek word, means consecration, purification, sanctification of the heart and life. It's to set one apart. In our case, it's to separate ourselves from the worldly ways that do lead to death. We are to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, it says, "But he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy." Personal holiness is a steady work of gradual development. It is carried on under many obstacles and hindrances, and also the frequent admonitions for watchfulness, for prayer, for perseverance. We constantly see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting verse 1, this is from the Living Standard Version. It says, "Having then these promises, beloved, may we cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting sanctification in the fear of God." Perfecting sanctification in the fear of God. Now, I just want to clarify something that I said before about justification being entirely God's work. The second stage of conversion, justification, and all the four stages, basically, they're also understood by some of the Protestant churches. They recognize these as well. But there is a difference. To remain justified after being forgiven, one must behave in a righteous or just manner from that time forward. In other words, the faith required to be justified must be confirmed in one's actions. As James explains this very well in James chapter 2 and verse 21 through 24, he says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God," the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified or made just by works and not by faith alone. Now there is a. Now here's the difference. James' word do not in any way imply that forgiveness of sin is earned by one's work. He's only confirming that once we are forgiven, receive this justification from God, continuing in righteous living is necessary. We are to obey God's commandments. The power and ability to do this actually comes from God through his Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. In their minds I will write them." And he adds, "Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." This is the prophecy that was spoken of by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, which was actually fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. We have the same spirit. We have the same spirit to keep us mindful of God's laws. We cannot turn our backs on God and walk away from faith and hold on to the justification that we received by God through Christ's sacrifice. That's the difference. Some say once you're justified, or they like to say once you're saved, you're always saved. It's a continual process. We have to continue. The third thing I want to talk about with sanctification is that sanctification is a continuous, ongoing process. Sanctification is a continuous, ongoing process. Whereas justification is once and for all, if you stay on the path towards the kingdom, sanctification is a continuous process whereby we grow in holiness. The Greek verb translated walk by the Spirit, that's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, translates the Greek verb peripatio. Peripatio, which literally it means to go about or to walk around. It's the same word that Jesus used of the paralytic when he said, get up, take your mat, and walk. He said that in Mark chapter 2, verse 9. The word walk also can be used to mean a certain walk of life or conduct. Thayer's Greek definition says that the word means to make due use of opportunities to regulate one's life or to conduct oneself. Paul used a tense of the verb that reflects continuous ongoing activity. The word walk reminds us that sanctification isn't an easy, leisurely walk. It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle which moves steadily progressing towards the goal, but never arriving until that day that we see him as he is. In 1 John 3, verse 2, when we finally see Christ. So this process doesn't end until we see Christ. We're still in the middle of this walk right now. In Galatians 5, verse 22, speaking of the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of these fruits have we developed in our everyday lives? Are we kind and gentle? Do we have self-control? Every day there is some stumbling block that gets in our way to remind us that we may not have one or more of these spiritual qualities, that we're lacking a little bit. And why? Why not have all these qualities? Don't we have the Holy Spirit of God helping us, working with us? The problem is that many times we don't seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, or we don't listen to the Spirit. Rebellion is part of our nature. Many times in the Scripture we see that when people sought an answer from God, he replied and things went well. But there's many more times in the Bible where they did not ask God's advice or help or sought to get a clarification from him, and they went and did something on their own. And it usually was pretty disastrous. One example is with Joshua, when Joshua was dealing with the Gibeonites that pretended that they were from far away, when they were one of those towns that they were supposed to be destroyed as well. If he would have went to God and asked God before dealing with them, he would have found out that they were trying to fool him. But he didn't. Then he had to deal with the consequences of that. How many times do we deal with consequences because we don't listen to God, we don't seek God's advice, that we just do things on our own? We have the Holy Spirit of God within us to help us, but we have to utilize that. A few did have direct contact with God in the Old Testament, but most had to go to the high priest to get the word of God, like Joshua had to. Moses, you know, God talked directly to Moses, but Joshua, he had to go through the high priest now. Brethren, we have direct contact with God. As the veil that was in the throne, you know, the veil that was blocking the throne room, that was torn asunder when Christ died. We have access to the throne of God. Through God's Holy Spirit, we have a direct link to God. All we have to do is exercise that privilege and go to Him in prayer. We can ask for knowledge, healing, or solutions to problems that we face. The door is wide open. The door to God's throne is wide open. The fourth thing I want to talk about with sanctification is the goal of sanctification is to be like Christ. The goal of sanctification is to be like Christ. God's purpose for our sanctification is to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. As we said before. And whom He justified, these He will glorify. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, says, remind them to be subject to rulers, authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to be affirmed constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. This is part of our sanctification process, to adhere to what this is saying. Good works. We already left all that old stuff behind with the old man. Problem is the way I look at it, the old man that was buried, you know, sometimes I feel my old man, they gave him a shovel and he's trying to dig out. We got to keep the old man, that old person, our past, we need to keep it buried and continue on to new life. Of course, more of this will be covered in the next message. The fifth thing I want to say about sanctification is the primary tool of sanctification is the Word of God. Our primary tool of sanctification is the Word of God. Jesus' prayer for his disciples, which I said before, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In John 17:17, instructs us that God sanctifies us by his word. Paul understood that God's word trains us in righteousness so that we may be complete. We may be complete. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We need to learn from the scriptures. For by them, God will transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Acts 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Again, this is pointing towards God's word, the Bible, our instruction manual. God's word says what is true and right and what is good. That's what Psalm 119 tells us. Psalm 119 tells us this. It tells us that God's word is great and that his laws are good. Give it a read. Give it a read maybe later today or tomorrow or sometime this week and see how many times Psalms 119 refers to God's word and his commandments. It's one of the longest, or the longest, psalm of the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Throughout it, you'll see constantly references to God's commandments and to God's word. That's the five things I wanted to tell you about with sanctification that I want to share with you. And I know that there's much more on that subject. But I also wanted to just let you know a few things that the Apostle Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says in his address to the Corinthians, he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and those called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who are called on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Here again, we are sanctified in Christ, and we are called out of this world to be a holy people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The old is gone. Sanctification is the inward spiritual transformation that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, works in a convert by his Holy Spirit, following justification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 informs us that Christ is not only our righteousness, but also our sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. What does Paul mean here? How are the children and the spouse of a believer sanctified? This is just a side note. I just wanted to include this here. In families where either the father or the mother of a Christian believer, by virtue of God's calling, God views both the unbelieving mate and their children in a very special way. This verse does not necessarily say that God calls the unbelieving mate, but he blesses them. They live with a converted person, which provides them with an intimate exposure to God's way of life. In this verse, the word sanctified and holy is that Greek word, hagiazo. Hagiazo, again, meaning separation to God or consecrated to God, sacred. From the Bible question and answer session from the Beyond Today article, it says, while the believer's conduct may be a powerful example for the unbelieving mate, he or she can usually go further than just setting an example to the children. A believing parent can actively teach them God's way and directly develop their understanding and relationship with him. Without the influence of a converted parent, children in the household would be no different from others who, in ignorance, disobey God and lead spiritually unclean lives. However, because of the parents' conversion and relationship with God, such children are in a special category. Although not baptized, they are part of the holy nation. They are part of the church. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this. They also have special access to the knowledge of God's way of life. In a process of maturing physically, emotionally, and spiritually, children of a believer have the choice to accept and respond to God's calling. If they do, they can receive the Holy Spirit as promised. Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. As with anyone coming to conversion, children of members must experience genuine repentance. Additionally, they must understand that lifelong commitment and responsibilities of being an ambassador for Christ. Ambassador for Christ, which is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. In conclusion, I wanted to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits. God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. Belief in the truth. Remember that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, this is God's will, your sanctification. It is God's will for you to have this sanctification.